It's the download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's time for another installment of our new monthly segment called Writing Out Loud. Author and journalist Beth Finke teaches a memoir writing class to seniors through the city. She's been doing it for years. The goal is to get her students comfortable in writing down their life experience, their story. Beth Finke is the author of several books, including Writing Out Loud, What a Blind Teacher Learned from Leading a Memoir Class for Seniors. Last month, she brought us Audrey Mitchell. We learned a lot about Audrey's life. Tonight, Beth is back with a pair of students, Anne and Bruce Hunt. The Hunts have been taking Beth's class for years, and they have been together for 60 years. They're both 81 years old, and they are in studio tonight. Everybody, hello. Thanks
Hi.
For being here.
Hello. Good to be here.
Beth, great to see you.
Great to be seen.
So, okay, so let's get right into it. I mean, just to refresh the memories of our listeners, okay. This is a segment we do because you teach a class. You just got back into it again
right.
this week, or this is you just started a new class.
Yep.
Talk about this class.
Boy, the class started about 15 years ago. I had one class at the Cultural Center. It began because I wrote a memoir myself called Long Time No See, and Joyce Gallagher, who was still is the head of the Department on Aging, but asked me if I'd be willing to lead a memoir writing class. So I gave it a try, and it worked, and it grew.
Yeah, right.
So now I lead 5 classes a week, some for the city, some for the Village Chicago. Those meet in Lincoln Park, some at the Admiral, which is an assisted living. Nah, it's called something nicer than that, you know, whatever you say. Yeah, a place for older people live. Mm. And then one in Printer's Row. We just started up. Mm. Last week, I had a lot of time off to promote Writing Out Loud, the book, and other things, take computer classes and stuff like that. So I had a lot of time to come up with the prompts. This is the first time I've come up with the prompts ahead of time.
The prompts are the most important, yeah.
Yes. So,
what are some of them to look for? I don't want to give away to your students in the room.
No, you can't, actually, because I wrote to every single student I had today. I spent time this afternoon, and I thought, on the ride over in the cab, I thought, I'm going to give the prompt, so now I'll know when I go to class tomorrow, who listened to the show and who didn't?
There you go.
So the prompt.
What are the prompts?
In honor of Mother's Day, the prompt is, I want all the writers in my classes to write about a trait they share with their mothers.
That's good. That's
so
good.
Whether it could be something you hate about yourself because you can't believe you do this thing that you or something that you're very proud of.
Yeah, that you admire, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, of course, Writing Out Loud, What a Blind Teacher Learned from Leading a Memoir Class for Seniors. Great Mother's Day present as well. So.
Yes.
All right, let's meet some of your students. Who have you brought to us tonight, Beth?
Who have I brought? I have brought Bruce and Anne Hunt. They have both been in the class for each of them have been at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Until last week, the two of them were in separate classes. They both live near Lincoln Park. They spent a lot of time in Lincoln Park, so they're involved in that organization.
Okay.
But if I remember right, I would want to take over your job, Justin, but I'm going to ask him.
No, please.
I think, Anne, you didn't want to be in the class with Bruce. Isn't that right? I mean, didn't you want to be separate, sort of?
I don't know that it was actually something that we really decided one way or another. I think part of it was that originally, I think we had different kinds of schedules. That was part of it.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So Bruce started first.
I started first, and I was in the Thursday group. And at the when we started, there were 15 women and me.
Yes.
I was the first guy to join that. Well, I wasn't the first guy, but I was the only one at that time. I think somebody had been come and gone.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a critical decision that we be in separate groups. But it was kind of by mutual.
Do you think being a couple for 60 years that it's easier to learn to tell your story when you're apart, meaning where you don't have each other filling in the sentences or being able to edit each other in the stories that you want to tell? Is it almost easier in the fact that you weren't in the same class together?
It may well have been. I the way it worked was that we would each create our story separately, she on Monday and me on Thursday, and at lunchtime we'd read to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point at which it got to be a shared thing.
Well, I think among other things is that we both have written as part of our professions, and I think it's not unusual for us to share what we've written,
right, right.
Even if it's, you know, it may be more that I've written about something of, that I'm that's interesting to me or that I know more about, but I'm looking for some just some feedback.
Do you when you're both writers and you're both in the same class? Are, but even in the same, you know, maybe not the same day, but the same class. Do you think of each other as the audience? I mean, when you're writing these stories, are you thinking, "And oh, I wonder what Bruce is going to think about this," or Bruce, vice versa?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
It is.
I think. What's your answer?
Well,
to that?
Yes, I think so because I think very often when we're writing for something other than the writing class, and we often do that. I mean, we've written for neighborhood newspapers and for college. Update kinds of articles and that kind of thing. So I've always seen, I think Bruce is, first of all, he's very smart and he's a good writer himself. So I respect his feedback to me. We have different kinds of interests. He's not particularly interested in, you know, my thing seems to be cooking primarily, has always been from my career. But, and his has been business and students and all kinds of cerebral
pursuits. Yeah, sure.
Things of the mind.
Games, whatever. Right. But we will often talk about it, but I don't, unless there's something specifically saying, you know, I'm confused about this, or I think this could be more clear. Mm. I very much respect his feedback. I do say that.
Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's take our break so we have more time on the back end to get to know you guys. Bruce and Ann Hunt are here. They're students in Beth Finke's memoir class for seniors. We'll take our break here. We'll come back and we'll continue our conversation here on Writing Out Loud. So stay with us.
I am giving you a long every day, every day, every day, every day.
All right. It's the Download 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here in studio, Beth Finke. She teaches the memoir class for seniors for the city. She also is the author of Writing Out Loud, What a Blind Teacher Learned from Leading a Memoir Class for Seniors. Beth comes in once a month with some of her students to tell their stories here on The Download. Good to see you, Beth.
Thank you.
All right, so let's talk about... So we talked a little bit about setting up why you guys take the class and the fun stuff about the class, but let's get to know Anne and Bruce Hunt, who are in studio. They've been together for 60 years, both 81 years old. They've been taking the class for about 10 years. How'd you guys meet?
We met in college, and Anne had a roommate that I was infatuated with and not making very good time with. And so I used to set up coaching sessions with Anne, and she would coach me on how I could present myself more effectively to her roommate. And I found, frankly, that I liked the coaching sessions much more than the date.
Do you remember that?
That
was part of her story. That was part of her angle.
Well, those were the good old days when the girls had to be in at 8 o'clock at night. There was it was Worcester, Ohio, and there wasn't any place you could go for any kind of privacy on that campus. And so one of the things that happened was that after our particular sophomore year, there was this rash of people who had formed these relationships who began to kind of look to, you know, where's this going to go? How are we going to find ways of being together?
Right.
And by the time we got to be seniors in college, we were taking over the old units that had been built for veterans who were coming back to school. And for $40 a month rent, which was a lot less than we were paying for our rooms in the dormitories...
That's where you went.
Mind you, in that day, we got married before we moved into the barracks.
Yes.
So.
You had to be married.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What brought you to Chicago? What was it that took you back up here?
Well, I was coming to do grad school here, and so that brought us to Lincoln Park, and we got cautioned about, you know, do you really want to live right in the city? And we said, yeah, we do, and that was 1959, and we've been in the city, except for a time we went to the country, but we've been in the city ever since.
It's, I mean, to think about what, you know, a neighborhood like Lincoln Park since 1959 has seen a lot of change, but it's been at the epicenter of a lot of things. I mean, just think 10 years later in the late 60s, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of protests and, and what have you. I mean, you guys have been in a position where you've seen Chicago change.
We were there. Mm. We were there during the protests. We were there for all of it. But among other things, you know, we were there when it was a mixed community. And that's where I really developed my interest in ethnic food.
And that's what you ended up doing for your career. You opened a cooking school.
Right, right.
How did that come about? What was it about food and cooking that draw you in?
Well, I think, among other things, it's something that...
Well, tell a story about Dolores Messini.
Yeah, I think it's something that you can share if you come from very different backgrounds.
Right.
And I could tell you a quick story, which was that one day we lived on Bissell Street, which runs along the elevated tracks, and there was the fire engine was out there, and everybody was coming out of their houses and like, what's going on? Well, here was this little naked child running around in the middle of the street. Nobody knew whose he was. And so we were all trying to figure out what to do about this. And we got talking to each other, and this one woman, Mrs. Messini, and she was a big Italian woman, very, very imposing. And finally she said, I got to get in there and get my tomato gravy going, because my husband works up on a very high what do you call it?
Building,
crane.
Yeah,
on a crane. Right. And when he gets home, he wants his dinner. So I said, just to be nice, I said, you know, sometime you have to give me your recipe for spaghetti sauce, because I never made very good spaghetti sauce. Make a long story short, the next day, she rang the doorbell. Here she is with two shopping bags. She said, I've come to show you how to make the spaghetti sauce. Well, I think the real story was she wanted to see what my house looked like.
Yeah. Of course.
You know, who are you? You're not like the rest of us on this block. And so that was the start of...
But you also said she was... really in the kitchen, she was really graceful and telling her story about, you know, where the foods come from and what part of was for a part of her tradition.
Well, and she'd grown
and that
up
really
in the
impressed
city.
You.
Right. It did impress me. And I told the girlfriend of mine about it, and she said, you know, what a wonderful way to get to know your neighbors and to just, you know, we were both interested in food. And so that turned into... a project where we decided to start a cooking school, which we did, and we met in what was formerly a kitchen and
gas kitchen, wasn't it?
Pardon?
In the gas company?
And the gas company had this area right across the street from the Art Institute, where they had stoves and refrigerators and everything, and then they would have demonstrations, but. Zelda knew somebody, my friend Zelda knew someone who was involved, who worked for them, and they said they would be delighted to give us the space for nothing. They were looking for ways that they could reach out to the community and become more known for that. So we started a cooking school, and that
became your career.
Yeah. That became both of our careers.
One of the things that I thought was really important about that was that that was their way of introducing the city in terms of its strengths. I mean, these were mostly women who were cooking in local neighborhoods and had a great reputation there, and bringing suburban women, not all suburban, but many of them suburban women, coming in to learn about the city in terms of what was strong about it, not what was pathological.
You both, we have about 3 minutes here, and you both are taking this class to learn how to write your own story. Your story obviously continues on, and we're in this segment, we just get slivers of it. And just recently, you were diagnosed with Alzheimer's, early stage Alzheimer's, and it makes you think about the immediacy to tell your story, to make sure that these stories are on paper, that people know it, because they are up in your head, and at a certain point with this terrible disease and affliction, that's what's robbed, the idea of being able to recall those things, to be able to communicate your life story. So is there a rush to tell your story?
I wouldn't say rush. I mean, at this point, I've been diagnosed almost 2 years now, and I've been sort of surprised that it hasn't been worse, and I have continued to be monitored along the way. So I'm aware of what's going on now. Part of it is perhaps medications have changed. Perhaps that's a little bit better. I continue to swim a couple times a week as a way of just staying in shape, and I've also participated in a Alzheimer's group where we do various kinds of crafty activities.
Okay. And writing too, Beth. I mean, that
and writing and writing
and actually and the stories that you've written. Yeah. Do you wrote say 6 years ago? Do you ever read them again? And does that help you remember? Or are you not there yet?
I can't say that I've made a point of going back to read them again, although I must say that in preparation for today, I got out. I mean, I have a giant, binder that has stories in it. And just looking at those stories, I thought to myself, I am so grateful that I have these stories that I can, if I can't read them, someone can read them to me, and they can be read among my children, can read them. And I feel this is a legacy that is one of the best things that I have to give, that I have to leave.
No, you took a time off from writing, and you come back to it. And I've heard you say one of the reasons you wanted to is to get some of these stories down.
Right.
So in terms of the urgency, I want to push a little bit on that, because I think there is some urgency.
Yes,
in doing and that.
But I also, I mean, I you know, I think that Beth has really supported us in looking for the stories and valuing our stories. So it may not seem like anything all that important, but if it's been something important in terms of something my family will remember about me or about the times we've had together for celebrations or whatever it may be, I think those stories are invaluable.
Well, I look forward to reading the memoir when completed. Anne and Bruce Hunter here, together for 60 years, both 81 years old. They are students of Beth Finke's. Beth teaches the class seniors. She's also the author of Writing Out Loud, What a Blind Teacher Learned from Leading a Memoir Class for Seniors. She joins us every month for our segment, Writing Out Loud. It was a pleasure to meet you, Anne. And Bruce, thanks for coming in. And Beth, always a pleasure. Good to have you.
All mine. Thanks.